Crusaders, and welcome to another edition of Batman, the Animated Series Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist and writer, and the guy whose duplicate would come complete with high stress levels and a bad back. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Oh, my robotic back is broken.
And I have a cold.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. I have a cold. Isn't that fun? Life is great.
Yeah, and I'm in a different location, so there might be sounds of echoing.
Oh, boo for you. Oh, that sounds really
tough. We all have our problems.
Oh, I ate a really delicious Mexican meal last night, and now my bank account's in the negative. Woe is me.
That is exactly what happened. How's the art life going?
Well, if you're listening to this, that means that my Kickstarter has finally released for Outbreaks Issue 3. Who knows? I mean, this comes out on Thursday, right? That's 3 or 4 days into the campaign. Who knows where we'll be? I don't know. Could be over by Thursday. Could be doing great. We don't know. So if you want to know, then you better head on over to my Kickstarter. Link is in the description of this video, I'm sure. Or you can go to all my social media, or just go to Kickstarter itself and search for Outbreaks, issues 1 through 3. It is completing the story arc of my first story in Outbreaks. So if you're a new reader, this is the perfect jumping on point. I wish I had more energy to say how awesome it is that Tony Moore, the co-creator of The Walking Dead, is the cover artist for this issue. But I have a cold. It just started this morning. And you know when you're like, it's allergies. It's just allergies. I was snoring all night. Wow, God, I'm a big snore. I've been smoking cigarettes. I was snoring. Nope. You know when you take that shower and like you can just feel it? Where you're like, the shower is not taking the sickness away. And then the warmness of the shower is like, just go back to bed. And I'm like, oh, bed. Take me there. Yeah, watch Dawn of the Dead for the 700th time. Oh, okay. It's like my sick movie now is to watch Dawn of the Dead.
It's your comfort movie.
Yep, comfort movie, just watching a bunch of zombies eat a bunch of people.
And that's if what you want to check out. Yeah!
Yay!
We're by segueing. Yeah, very
if you
well
want to
done.
Check a bunch of zombies eating a bunch of people, then head on over to my Kickstarter, back it. And you know what? Like, if I've ever put a smile on your face or entertain you in any way, put a smile on my face and help support my dreams. That would be incredible.
I can't wait to read issue 3. Obviously, you've shown me some pages and I know the storyline, but I'm really looking forward to reading it as a whole. In fact, I haven't even told you. Because obviously I backed issue 1 and issue 2. Of course, I'm going to back issue 3. That would be really bad if I didn't. But I
you
want
don't have
to... Well, yeah, I know, but I'm going to. But I want to wait. I've been waiting. I haven't read issue 1 or 2. I'm waiting for issue 3, and I just want to sit down and I want to read it as a whole story. Because I've not done that yet. And I've forgotten a lot of bits of it.
You have read all the scripts because you were the editor on them. And even in issue 3, there's a couple of bits of dialogue that were written by you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward. I don't remember even what I did because it was so long ago, but I've forgotten bits and pieces of the story, and I just want to sit down like fresh and read the whole thing. It's kind of like Batman the Animated Series where they would record an episode, they'd write and record it, and then it would go overseas to obviously be animated, and it'd come back like a year later. Mm. And I know people that have worked on the show that we've had on this podcast have been like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this, you know, scene or this episode. So I kind of want to do that with Outbreak. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
And are you starting with DC now? You got your back in the Batman Gotham City world?
Yeah, I got an extension on my deadline, so I'll be starting the DC stuff next week. Can't say what it is, but I'm just drawing a short Halloween story that's in the Batman universe. That's all I can say. So that'll be pretty cool. So hopefully people can check that out. And then yesterday I started like writing more of my other comic that I'm hoping to release this year, Mobster Mash, which is about all of like 1950s Hollywood, if all the Universal monsters were mobsters, all in a turf war over Tinseltown. And I made a few changes. One of the changes I made was a suggestion from you to change a certain character from being a cop to like a journalist writer, and it works so much better now. And that's why my brother is the editor-in-chief of Speech Comics, my company, because he looks at my stories, he says, this is great, this needs a little work, maybe this, and I go, that's great, and then a great story comes out of it. So thank you, buddy.
You're very welcome. I love that we found our footing there, and like that's working really well. I forgot that I even made that suggestion. So I'd be reading this, I'm like, man, this is a great idea that he came up with.
That's the best thing. You forget all of it, so I get all the credit. Might as well not put you in the credits of the book.
Nah, yeah, I'll be like, didn't I? Nah, I didn't. That was all him. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to reading that as well. And I love some of the changes that we discussed with a certain drug that's in this world.
Right. I made all those changes as well, and that works so much better too.
Yeah, it's really fun. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. And you guys can check that out, obviously, as we go down the line and my brother announces more about it. But go to Kickstarter right now, link in the description below. And please, if you can support his campaign, please do. If you can't spend any money, that's totally fine. But what you can do is you can share it, because the more eyes on it, then the more it's going to get funded and he'll be able to keep on doing it. So check that out. And then also, we are usually plugging our live show now. Now, I know that people have been telling me that they can't attend the live show because they're just not near London and they'd love to, which I super appreciate. The ones that are able to attend, sadly, we gave our last punt last week, and it's just not enough. At this point, obviously, we're recording a few days ahead of time when this episode comes out, but it's just not enough to be able to afford the venue and travel costs, which is totally fine. I would love to be able to be like, we did it, everybody. Mm. But sometimes these things just aren't meant to happen right now, and they'll happen in the future. And I'm now thinking, I want to find a better venue and really like go for it, because I don't know if a pub makes a difference in people's minds if they're going to go or not. Obviously, as I've explained, it's a separate room. It wasn't like we were just going to set up next to the bar. But yeah, I want to find a venue that's kind of tailored to more what we need. And I really want to do it for Sub-Zero. I think that is the right place to go. Because
if we can all sit down in like some sort of mini theater and watch actually
the whole
something
film
on a big screen, that would be great.
Yeah. I would love to be able to figure that out. So we aren't going to get to Sub-Zero for quite some time. So that gives me enough time to, one, find a venue and make sure everything's right and get it all set up properly. So when people come, they're like, oh, this is legit. This is awesome. And that hopefully will tempt people more into coming out. And then it just gives us enough time to build up more people that want to come as well. So yeah, thank you to everybody that filled out their Google form or messaged us or emailed us. But we're just going to go ahead and do a regular Almost Got 'Em review. Maybe we'll do a live episode review online, so then it's kind of like that. We'll see how it goes. But in the meantime, the live show is going to be penned for another day. It's going to be put on the back burner.
A live thing on the internet sounds like a good thing for a Patreon in the future.
Ooh, maybe. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll think about that as well. But first, it's time for Cast That Character.
Who will they cast in this part?
Otay.
He's a great guy. Met him yesterday.
Okay, every time we come across a new character in Batman the Animated Series, we cast him in our fan-casted universe. If Warner Brothers handed us the keys and a camera and said, you know that Batman show you guys love? Why don't you make that live action? And we got to cast these people in modern day. So today we've come across a new character. We came across a few in this, like Rossum. Carl Rossum is going to come back again. But honestly, the guy that plays Carl Rossum, I think he should just play Carl Rossum live action, because he's just that classic voice.
It's William Sanderson. I have an iconic voice.
Yeah. So I thought we're not even going to cast him. That's done and dusted. He'll be the same character.
I'm surprised you didn't get us to cast Barbara Gordon from this episode.
I'm going to save Barbara for Batgirl episodes, Shadow of the Bat, because she's not Batgirl for a while. She will eventually become Batgirl in Shadow of the Bat Part 1. So I'll save Barbara for that. But today, before we even get started on who we're casting for Hardak, I have an update on who we have to play Hugo Strange. Last week, we put it out to the listeners, a big vote, which was between Paul Giamatti and Benedict Wong. Now, we have 683 votes on Instagram for this, which was amazing because it was only up for 24 hours. Thank you, everybody that voted. It's 72% to 28%. 72% in favor of Paul Giamatti as Hugo Strange. And I think it's a great choice. I think Benedict Wong would have been good. But as I was like looking for pictures of both of them, I kept on finding pictures of Paul Giamatti. And I was like, oh, if you put those specs on him, he would just look like Hugo Strange anyway. Hmm. And I think, I know we were making fun of his accent in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I wanted a bit of levity and fun because he's a silly character.
I am the Rhino.
Yeah. So Paul Giamatti is our Hugo Strange. But right now, we're going to cast Hardak. Now, I found this somewhat difficult because obviously we're only casting a voice for this character. He does reappear, obviously, in Heart of Steel Part 2 and his Silicon Soul. So I will go first, if that's all right with you. I chose one person for this. I thought, who kind of sounds like a robot that would work and would lend their voice? And I don't want to waste a really good talent if we're only using their voice. You know what I mean? I'm not saying this guy isn't talented, but I think he would fit the voice really well. So I researched, and then it just kind of came to me where I was like, well, hang on a minute. I really like RoboCop.
Drop it! Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
And I really like Peter Weller.
That's a great choice.
He's got a great robot voice, obviously. And also, he played Batman in the Dark Knight Returns animated films.
How long you expect to last against him?
Long enough.
Boss, I'm trying to get the plan here. I mean, you gonna die tonight or what?
Figure I will.
So I went with Peter Weller. That was my choice.
Yes, sold me. I think that's an excellent choice.
Oh, great. Okay, well, who did you choose, just out of interest?
I also went for someone that I thought had a more of a robotic voice, but I wasn't really convinced by my choice, and I chose Alan Tudyk.
Oh, he's that's not a bad choice either. He's actually the Joker in the Harley Quinn animated show now. Yeah, and he's been in Star Wars as that K2SO. What's the K2?
That's true. I didn't even realize. Yes, he was that robot.
These are prisoners.
Yes, where are you taking them?
I am taking them to imprison them in prison.
But he's very famous for being in, what was that space show that got cancelled before its time with...
Firefly,
thank you. He's in that. He's in that Resident Alien show and a plethora of other things. He's a famous guy.
I think he's a good choice. I see where you're coming from with that. But I don't think he's menacing enough to be...
No, your choice is 100% better.
Okay, amazing. Well, thank you, bud. We got Peter Weller as Hardak.
I've definitely found something. Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Intriguing. This data may be useful later. There must be a central computer. It will have the data I need.
And speaking of Hardak, are you ready to review this episode?
As ready as my cold is to give me a shitty few days.
Are you as cold as steel right now?
I am fucking freezing.
Do you have a heart of steel?
I have a hard-on for this episode.
Oh, God, here we go.
I'm sick. I'm not funny. It's like all funny leaves my body when I'm sick.
All right, this episode is titled Heart of Steel Part 1. It came out on November 16th, 1992, directed by Kevin Altieri and written by Bryn Stevens, animation by Sunrise. Featuring Kevin Conroy as Batman Bruce Wayne, Efren Zimbalist Jr. as Alfred, Bob Hastings as Commissioner Gordon, Robert Costanzo as Detective Bullock, Jeff Bennett as Hardak, Lloyd Buckner as Mayor Hill. Oh, actually, Mayor Hill's in Part 2, never mind. Leslie Easterbrook as Randa Duane, Melissa Gilbert as Barbara Gordon, Brock Peters as Lucius Fox, and William Sanderson as Carl Rossum. Honorable mentions here. Sunrise animated this episode, and they previously animated the episodes that we reviewed, which were Pretty Poison, The Cat in the Claw Part 1, and The Clock King. Also a note for you here, Sunrise is the animation studio responsible for Cowboy Bebop.
Nice. Well, this episode did look good.
It did look good, yeah. It had that kind of anime vibe, not as much as Robin's Reckoning Part 1, which is done by another studio, as we know, but it did look good at certain points. Director Kevin Altieri has been credited previously on this podcast in our On Leather Wings review, as well as being a reoccurring guest on this podcast. So go back and listen to those episodes to learn more about his career and potentially he might be able to show up for part two of this review if we manage to make it work. So a little teaser there. If he's not on part two, then it didn't work out. Then we got writer Bryn Stevens makes her DCA debut in this episode.
Ah, Hugo Strange is back.
I'm back again. She will go on to write several more episodes for BTAS, as well as being known for writing episodes of Gargoyles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And she wrote Spider-Man the Animated Series episodes, including the Alien Costume Parts 1 and 2, which we very much enjooyed when the symbiote comes to Earth.
Shocker! Escape me! I'll chase you to the ends of the earth!
She was also married to Batman the Animated Series writer and producer Michael Reeves, which is really interesting. So yeah, maybe there was some connections there, but she's got plenty of writing credits before she was married to him as well. Acting creds here. All returning characters have been credited previously on this podcast in their first appearances, such as Robert Costanzo in On Leather Wings and Brock Peters as Lucius Fox in See No Evil. We've got Jeff Bennett, who plays Hardak, and he has been credited previously on this podcast because he played the video store clerk in The Grey Ghost. However, just as a reminder, Hardak is also the same voice actor who has voiced so many characters. His like IMDb was just endless, but one of his most famous voices is Johnny Bravo. So Hardak is Johnny Bravo.
Who's that handsome guy? Hello, 911 emergency. There's a handsome guy in my house. Oh, wait a second. Cancel that. It's only me.
That would have been so funny if he's like, hey, ha, 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 make a duplicate.
Now, I didn't look at the cast, but the lady in the show,
Randa?
Randa, is that her name? The blonde lady.
Randa Duane, yeah.
Is that, and this is me like just hearing from the voice, is it the very famous lady from Beetlejuice and the Home Alone mom and all that stuff?
No, it's not. Okay. No. I actually can see what you mean by that.
Yeah.
I know her name. Why has that gone from my brain?
She's a very famous
lady. I'm so sorry, everybody. Yeah, she's very famous. No, so Leslie Easterbrook plays Randa Duane, and she will also make a return to the DCAU to voice the character Marla in Superman the Animated Series. Mm. But she is mainly known for playing Captain Debbie Callahan in the Police Academy movies. She's like in all of them.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. Okay.
Learn to defend yourselves without stick or firearm. I need a volunteer. Barbara, get out here.
I just ate.
Right where I'm standing. Right here. Right now.
Okay, and she's the mother in Firefly. Oh, she's Mother Firefly, sorry, in The Devil's Rejects, that movie by, what's-his-face, Rob Zombie.
Speaking of zombies, go check out my Kickstarter. Anyway, continue.
And she's Rhonda Lee in Laverne and Shirley. Then we've got Melissa Gilbert, who plays Barbara Gordon. We'll go on to voice Batgirl and Barbara Gordon in BTAS and the Sub-Zero movie. But the character will ultimately be recasted in the new Batman Adventures with Tara Strong in the role. Which, when we get to it, I will explain why. Because, obviously, we're not going to get to Tara Strong in a way. But there's a bit of controversy there. Melissa Gilbert is also known for playing Is also known for playing Laura Ingalls in Little House on the Prairie, Anna Sheridan in Babylon 5, and she plays herself in the Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbuster music video, which was such a weird thing. I was like,
I'm here.
She's just herself. Yeah, she's like, who are you going to call? I'm Melissa Gilbert.
Me.
Batgirl. Then finally, William Sanderson plays Dr. Carl Rossum. He's also known for playing the character E.B. Farnham in Deadwood, Skeets in The Rocketeer, and Sheriff Bud Dearborn in True Blood. But he's mostly famous for, and the reason that he is this character in this, is he plays Sebastian in Blade Runner.
I'm lost.
Don't worry, I won't hurt you. What's your name?
Pris.
Mine's KF Sebastian.
Who is the guy that makes the duplicates, and that's why they're called duplicants in this move, in this cartoon.
I never even put those two and two together. Also, I haven't seen this movie in a long time, but I remember I used to watch it all the time as a kid. Do you remember the Bruce Willis movie, Last Man Standing? Well, he's like in that as well. He's like the bartender in that, yeah.
Yes, he is. Yeah, I used to watch that movie a lot. That was like a go-to too. For me.
Yeah.
Like he had those dual-wielding Colts, didn't he?
Because I remember watching being like, did they have those guns at the time? It was like, it was supposed to be 1911, and that's what the guns are called. So he had two of those.
Yeah, I wonder if that holds up. I need to maybe go back and rewatch it. I'll check it out. Okay, it's time for our utility belt of fun facts. Carl Rossum, inventor of the duplicants, is voiced by William Sanderson, who played J.F. Sebastian in Blade Runner, the genetic designer behind the replicants. So obviously, as I said, that's why he's in this show. Then we've got... You've just disappeared completely.
I'm blowing my nose.
Anyone that's watching knows. Anyone that's listening, it's like, what the hell's going on?
Ta-da!
Have you just been replaced by a duplicate? You disappeared.
I'm fine. I don't have a cold. I'm fine. Everything's going to be fine. Just fine.
Then we've got Rossum's company is named Cybertron, which is the name of the planet that the Transformers come from. There's no relation to it. They just happen to have the same name.
Jeez, I look like late Orson Welles right now. Fuck's sake. My wet hair slicked back and my big beard. That was a fat guy.
Okay, then we've got Hardak. His appearance resembles HAL 9000 from 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Open the pod bay doors, HAL.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about, HAL?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
Obviously, we've mentioned that when we were rating or ranking the villains. You pointed that out, and I didn't even realize that, but yes, that is a clear ode to that movie. Then we've got the license plate on the getaway car for the first theft is R-U-R. This is a reference to the play.
Are you ready?
It's not that. It's a reference to the play R.U.R. by Carol Capek. In R.U.R., Capek is credited...
the classic.
Well, he's credited with coining the term robot, which is why R.U.R. is there. Yeah, so that's where the term robot comes from the play R.U.R. by Carol Capek. Interesting, huh?
How do you... because of robotics? And then he went, it's a robot.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know the specifics.
I claim that.
Know...
That's me. I did that.
But it's crazy because like that word is just so universally known. And you don't even think about where it might come from. But apparently that's why the license plate says
that.
Why do
I not believe that story?
It's factual. I looked it up. Like, I made sure. And that's why it's the license plate, obviously, as an ode. Finally, Randa Duane's appearance is based on Marilyn Monroe. Did you see that with her little mole on her cheek as well?
I was like, oh, wow. Like, if you want to learn how to draw like Bruce Timm, there's so many great angles of this character. There's even like a panning shot across her face where I was like, that was a lot of animation. And I tried to take screenshots of it for future reference to like study. And I found that Apple, like, if you take a screenshot of something you're watching, it's just a black screen. I'm like, that's fucking bullshit. Like, I'm only taking a picture. I'm not like recording the screen. I'm not like recording
the
movie.
Oh, you're taking it what on your iPad or whatever? Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'd just take it with my camera phone because then it won't.
I know, which I'm going to have to do now, but it's like so dumb. It's like,
yeah, that's weird. Yeah. Anyway.
I paid for this content. Thank you very much.
That's true. You did. You should be able to screenshot it. Okay. Well, what did you think of this episode?
I thought it was very good, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, the little robots were really cool.
They were cool.
And they kind of reminded me of The Thing a bit, right? Like,
yes,
like,
I have that written down.
They're a bit spooky and a bit morphy, and like the eye sticking out is very much like the eyes that come out of the guy's severed head and the legs and stuff. Like,
yeah, it was like a robotic, an insect.
Yeah, like a robotic version of The Thing. And the eye also reminds me so much of the Technodrome from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Huh? Turtles? Oh, they've been spotted! Now they'll have to watch out for the eye spy radar!
The big eye on top of it.
That's so true. That's exactly... Because I saw that and I was like, what does that remind me of? And my mind went to The Thing, but that is very much the Technodrome as well, that one single eye.
It also reminds you of Star Wars as well, the thing that pops out of the water and looks around and pops back down. And then the other thing from Star Wars is Return of the Jedi, the machine that like lets Luke Skywalker into Jabba's palace.
Goodness gracious me.
Oh, remember when Star Wars was good, bud?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Remember when it was just the dope shit?
Yeah. When you're like, this is so cool. I can watch this over and over again and not get tired of it.
I love the first three films. And then, like, sure, we all hated on the prequels, but, like, after what's been coming out recently, they look pretty fucking good.
They do, yeah. They're more rewatchable, in my opinion, as well, yeah. Look, we loved the first two seasons of Mandalorian. They were so special. So special. I remember when Luke showed up and
I cried like a baby.
And I remember I was doing a pizza setup. It was like one of my first ones. And you called me and you're like, have you seen it? And I stopped setting my work up to be like, I want to talk to you right now.
On the phone as well. You're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Oh, so special. Yeah. So there's been some There's been one or two really good things and the rest have been subpar.
It's just like, this is a tangent, but I said this the other day. I was like, name me one franchise right now that is producing good content. And I was like, let's go through the list. Jurassic Park had a great couple of films, and then the rest have just gotten worse and worse and worse.
Yeah,
the new Matrix film was an absolute disappointment.
And they're making another Matrix now. Did you see this?
No, and not with the Wachowski sisters as well. So I was like, I'm out.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Well, I don't know. If they can make a good Matrix, I'm in, because I love that universe. But
yeah.
What else is there? Indiana Jones, boring and stale. John Wick used to be great, and that's just gone downhill as well. Even like the little ones, like Men in Black and all that stuff.
Marvel.
Like, Marvel movies. I mean, the X-Men show I started watching, and it's pretty damn good, but that's a
cartoon.
We'll
talk about that at the end, yeah.
And they've already freaking cancelled the guy for, I don't know, jiggling his nuts or whatever he did on OnlyFans. We don't really know what he's done yet. They haven't really said, so...
Check out my butthole, bub.
Let's go, bub, zip. I just went through like all the list of our favorite like huge franchises that we love. And you were like, you're right. There's like nothing.
There's nothing that I'm looking forward to.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Sad. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, back to the episode.
Anyway, back to a good piece of media. That's for sure.
Yeah. What did you think of Hardak, the character Hardak?
Hardak, you ought to know by now. I am a robot and I'm freaking out. it's a great design. There's so much, what's it called?
Matte painting?
No, not matte painting. The art decor, art deco in this. Like, I love Wayne Industries lobby. Like, yes. The desk that they were behind and the elevator doors. Like, I was like, oh, yeah. Because Art Deco is one of my, it may be my top favorite, like, form of design.
Well, as the show coined, Dark Deco was
their
kind of take on it, yeah.
And Hardak, like, is just an absolute, like, he looks like a building in Metropolis. I just love it. So
he does, yeah.
It's just there was a coolness to this episode. Some of it also reminded me a bit of, like, Vertigo as well, because the woman is very similar to the woman in Vertigo. They're going like around the water, like on the like the hill. Oh no, that not Vertigo. That reminded me of North by Northwest, like going around the bend, like car and everything. And I was like, I totally see how all of these creatives were inspired by Alfred Hitchcock. And now that we've like fully watched his whole back catalog, it's like, yeah, I see it. It's clear as day.
Absolutely. And this episode also really inspired by like 1950s sci-fi horror as well. Like they were really trying to go for that vibe.
Yeah. Like Invasion of the Body Snatchers and stuff like that.
Yes, that's exactly right. I thought that they kind of nailed that with the music as well. Like I like the dark, ominous music when he was going to Cybertron, or the sexy horns when like Randa showed up, like, we're going to get it on. She's a sexy lady.
I also thought pretty smooth of Bruce just being like, I like what I see. Dinner at my place? Great.
Maybe I can charm the details out of your lovely assistant?
Well, you can try.
Dinner? Tomorrow night at my house?
Love to. After 8, though. I'm working late.
Yeah, after he met Barbara and he was like, my, you've grown, and like touched her cheek and inspected her. I was like, she's not like a piece of meat, buddy.
Barbara, come in. You've grown. It's been, what, 4 years?
Home from college for a visit. Made the dean's list.
And who's your little friend?
And with future context of other media making like those two fuck, I was like, ooh, yeah, not ooh. A good look at the Batman.
Yeah, and he did it in front of her dad as well. Like, Gordon's right
wow,
there.
Wow, Gordon, your daughter got hot as shit. What?
Want to come back to Wayne Manor and hang out by the fireplace? Alfred's right. Laid out a meal.
Get in line. There's another lady before you. Gordon's like, what the fuck, man? Here you go. Take your teddy bear and get the fuck out of here, old man. I'm going to fuck your daughter.
So the two security guards at the start of this episode should be fired because, like, a stranger leaves a briefcase in plain sight in, like, a public place. And he's like, ma'am? Ma'am? And then he just grabs it. And they're, like, looking at it. And one of them's like, maybe there's a reward. And I'm like, fucking for what, a briefcase? Like, how cheap are you? And it could be a bomb. Like, at any moment that could just explode. Like, they work for a giant tech company.
This is a pre-9/11 world, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're like, there's no bombs ever.
It's a suitcase.
Yeah. And I love how they're like, let's just deal with it tomorrow. You want to get some pizza? They're like, yeah, all right, fuck it. Yeah. Let's get the fuck out of here. And then the security guard can't find the right key to the front door as well. I was like, Bruce, just fire this dude. Like, he's had so many chances.
Hope you enjoy that pizza because it's the last you're going to eat on my dime, bitch. You're fired.
I did like Bruce telling the security guard that the alarm system makes him nervous as well. I was like, okay, he's keeping up his, like, you know, facade of, like, I'm just, a nervous billionaire.
Oh, jeez, I'm just Bruce Wayne, and you'd never expect me to be Batman because I'm scared of the alarm system. Oh.
I also enjoyed when he, like, went into a room, and this is actually my Love That Batman moment. Usually it comes in the form of an image, but this comes in the form of dialogue for me in this episode. Because he's, like, Bruce is hurried into the office.
Better not take any chances. Right this way, sir. Now, for your own safety, you stay put, Mr. Wayne.
Stay put?
I don't think so.
And I was like, I love when he just switches. He did that, like, later on in the Batcave on the phone, like, as well.
He just, like, gingerly put his hand on the wall and, like, suddenly it, like, rolled around. Like, you could see, like, ah, so pizza tonight, lady? Whoa! Just suddenly went in, like, the mini Batcave of Wayne Enterprises.
What do you think of Batman having, like, hidden bat bunkers in all of his places? It's
the business.
It's James Bond. It's really cool. I love that.
Prepared for anything.
Yeah, I did think it'd be funny, though, if the guard put him in the wrong room and Bruce, like, goes to activate it and nothing happens. And he's like, ah, shit, this is the wrong room.
Oh, I think this one locks from the other side. Ah, looks like Brucey's spending the night in the security room.
They find him the next day. He's like, he's just in the corner with a blanket. And he's like eating snacks.
I told you I was afraid of the security system. It happened. It happened again. It happened again. Bruce got locked in to Wayne Enterprises. I need Alfred.
There's also a matte painting in this episode where Batman, like, comes out the elevator when we first see him, and it's a little over the top. I found it a bit jarring when he's standing there and he's so shaded and, like, it looks like a painting more than it does a bit of animation. So, yeah, I thought that could have been left out or at least kind of changed to look like it's more in line with what the show usually does. Leave it to the backgrounds for matte paintings, not characters, in my opinion. Unless you're doing a really extreme close-up, then that's fine. But, yeah, it looked weird. So what did you think of Batman versus the robot briefcase fight?
That fucking briefcase is more prepared than Batman. My God. The power of that laser to chop in half an elevator.
Yeah.
Insane.
I think Batman, when that happened, I even yelled out. I was like, God damn, Batman, get the fuck out of there.
Even Batman was like, fuck me. I can't travel on the world train for that shit. Kill a robot briefcase. They did not have that class in Japan when I studied out there.
I imagine if that's how Batman dies and the police are at his funeral and one of them's like, how'd he die again? And the other one's like, a briefcase robot with a laser eye. Like, poor bastard.
Chopped him straight in half. Yeah.
Gordon's collecting debts from Batman, death bingo card. He's like, I knew robot briefcase would come in handy one day. Like, it's a long shot.
Everyone made fun of me for robot briefcase, but who's laughing now? I'd be like, I think Gordon's our number one suspect, by the way.
What? Hello there.
Hello. He's a duplicate. I'm fine. Hello there.
I'm fine.
I thought that the Bat hang glider wasn't well hidden on the roof for Wayne Enterprises either. Like, Batman just opens up these, like, shutter doors and drags it out. And I'm like, anyone could, no lock, no passcode, like, anyone could have taken that. And imagine if, like, one of those bad security guards, like, went for a joyride and he didn't even know. He comes to find it. It's got, like, rips in it. It's been burnt to pieces. It's, like, covered in fucking sick and beer. They just, like, they went to a festival and used it as a tent.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I got really high. I flew Batman's kite. I was high as a kite. And I was sick all over it. I wiped my butt on it. Had sex on it.
Man. I did everything.
That was a good night. Hey, want the pizza?
Batman almost got blown to bits by that machine gun in Rhonda's car, and then he looks so shook up on the beach, like, what the fuck just happened?
He's like, this motherfucker is a slippery bastard.
But what made me laugh even harder is we cut to Batman dragging the glider into the Batcave for Alfred to deal with. My first thought was, did he drag that glider all the way from the beach to the Batcave?
He's pissed. He's like, fuck's sake, fuck's sake, fuck's sake, with every single walk.
But, like, we know he didn't drive home. We know he didn't fly home because he changed at Wayne Enterprises. So what is he, just, like, dragging it along the highway, like, trying to, like, hitchhike as he's dragging this fucking glider behind him?
Oh, I saved Gotham City, but no one wants to give me a fucking lift, It's because you're carrying around a giant soaking glider. I can't put it. I have a mini car. Like, I drive a tiny car.
And, like, we've seen Batman abandon countless batarangs and grapple guns. Why did he be like, I've got to bring this glider home? Like, why is that so special?
It's my favorite. Out of all my toys, I love the glider.
It's like a safety blanket for him. He cuddles up at night with it.
It's just really cool. It's the closest I get to being actually feeling like a Batman when I'm gliding out there. And I sometimes even go like, try to do echolocation. It doesn't work, but it's fun. It's fun for me. Little thing for Brucey to do.
People see that, like,
what, that would fly so much? They're just hearing like, you go like, aha, aha. Is that a crow he's doing? I don't think he knows what echolocation sounds like. Does anybody? Oh! Wait, hang on. I'm picking up some echolocation that you are a douche down there. Yes, confirmed.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. I'm Batman.
Then Alfred puts Lucius Fox on speakerphone whilst in the Batcave. And, like, he could probably hear, like, the echoes of the cave and the bats flying around. And he's like, hi, Lucius. And it's like, wee, 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 like, in the background.
Is that Alfred doing echolocation in the background? Yes.
So when Bruce visits Cybertron and, like, he experiences all of Carl Russum's gadgets, like the cappuccino machine and, like, the footrest that, like, fluffed up for him and everything, it reminded me of the inventor in Edward Scissorhands, which obviously Tim Burton, like, took inspiration from German expressionist films and such. And obviously that's what inspired this episode as well. So I thought it was kind of a cool blend because this show was obviously made because of Tim Burton's Batman 89 and Batman Returns coming out. And then they both kind of took inspiration from old 1950s sci-fi films. So I thought that was a cool little connection.
Yeah, there's a million things where, like, what's the classic inventor thing where, like, there's, like, an inventor father and, like, the whole house and toast and, like, coffee is all run by his inventions, but they all don't work really well.
Oh, is that Honey, what I Shrunk the Kids?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe not. Oh, you've just completely put something right in my mind, and I can't remember what that is either. There is something like that, and yeah.
Is it Rugrats? Is it Tommy Pickles' dad?
Yeah, I feel like you're getting closer. I'm not sure that was
no,
what
but
I
remember
thinking.
It being live action.
It was live action, and I remember
is it Gremlins?
Or is it Back to the Future with Doc?
I don't
and
know. Please, someone
there's a million
to this
of
podcast.
Them.
If you know what I'm talking, I'm picturing live action, and there's like this event guy, and he's working on stuff, and his wife is like walking around trying to use all the machines, and they're all just honestly, I know what it is. It's Gremlins.
Is it Gremlins? Okay.
I'm thinking of Gremlins.
I was thinking of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and also Back to the Future, because there's like the pan across all the machines, like making toast and breakfast, or even Wallace and Gromit does that as well. Mm. So there's loads of things like that. Yeah, it had a very much that vibe, his inventions. So Randa recites what HARDAC stands for, which is Holographic Analytical Reciprocating Digital Computer. And as I went through it, because I like wrote it down, she left out the last A of the acronym. So I was like, I guess they couldn't come up with another A because it's...
Didn't you say analytical at the end?
Yeah, but there's two A's. So it's Holographic Analytical Reciprocating Digital Computer. There's no A between digital and computer.
Is it hard C? Like, if they say, do they just add the A? Like, it's a silent A?
Well, no, it's spelled HARDAC. HARDAC.
Digital a computer. It's Italian.
Yeah, digital.
It's a digital a computer.
I want to find the perfect recipe for a Neapolitan pizza.
That's right.
I have made into the Italian government's mainframe and find me the perfect dough recipe. Thank you. Bellissimo. Ciao.
Ciao, Bella.
Now it's kind of turning into Mr. Freeze. I liked, what do you think of the duplicate scene with Gordon's duplicate being made?
It's fine.
I thought it would look good. Like, again, very like 50s sci-fi, yeah, and Twilight Zone type look to it. And when Gordon answers the door, his duplicate was also a cool scene. Like, I liked how they were in the shadows and they came out and obviously, yeah, they shocked him to high hell. But like, he yells, "What the devil?" And he gets tasered so loudly, and Barbara's just in the next room and doesn't hear anything. I was like,
she hears a little tasering and goes to check it out. She hops over a sofa. Which I was like, just walk around it. Like, what? Who are you?
It's like, Batgirl.
Oh, there's something in my way. I must go over it. Like, that is strange.
Yeah. Also, fit check. You ready for a little fit check? Right,
oh,
now.
Not this again.
Fit check. Gordon is rocking green pajamas and a gray bathrobe. They love a bathrobe in this show. That's the only fit check change of outfit in this episode. Gordon's got his casual wear. He did look kind of like Hugh Hefner in that sense, yeah. He's going green, though. Gordon must like a little bit of green in his life.
The Masters is on, so I went green.
What do you think of it, Dad?
It's fine.
It's fine. I think Scotty Scheffler will win.
So, speaking of the duplicants, I have a question. Do the duplicants eat? Because Robot Gordon doesn't eat the roast that Barbara made, because he's like, it's fine. She's like, you haven't touched it. Yet in the next scene, Robot Randa is eating by the fireplace with Bruce. And I'm like, but you're a
robot.
Yeah,
but like, it could just be like putting it into a compartment that she like gets rid of later. I mean, that's what we do anyway, maybe.
That's true, yeah. Imagine she doesn't know the subtleties of that. So like, she's just like making out with Bruce and suddenly the food just like poops out. He's like, what
she
the
just
hell?
Pops a squat. I've made.
So Bruce thought he was getting laid on this date, definitely, right? Like,
I'm gonna lay you by the fire.
And like, Alfred definitely prepared that whole meal by the fireplace scenario as well. And like, do you think he gave like Bruce some tips and like the do's and don'ts of dating? Like, don't mention Batman, sir. Whatever you do, that's rule number one.
Right. First thing he says, so I'm Batman. Pretty cool. I bet you really want to have sex with me right now. I'm going to make love to you, woman. I'm going to lay you by the fire. My butler said I shouldn't say I'm Batman, but you're my number one desire. I have a micro penis. Is that a problem? I already came. Goodbye.
Oh, you're a robot? I'll do it anyway.
That's what I do on the reg anyway, baby. That's what I do on the reg. I'm very lonely. My parents died. Please come for me.
Sex dolls. Am I right?
Yeah. Love it. I'm a millionaire. What do you think? Look, Wayne Enterprises, as we've established, we've got a cosmetic department. We've got like factory department. And we have the sex doll department, which is run by this guy with two thumbs and a micro penis.
Get ready for the Alfred sex doll coming soon.
That was model number one.
miles away.
Alfred's like, model number two is Martha Wayne, sir. Alfred! Who can play this game's up?
Do you think when Bruce left as well, Alfred thought like he might have a chance with Randa? Because he's like, okay, I'll make a spot of tea and I'll dust off the old Pennyworth charm. Here we go.
Pennyworth charm.
And then he gets tasered for it.
Hello, attractive lady. Would you like some tea? My micro penis. Oh. Do you think he has like his pubes are like a little tash above like his dick?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
You want to know about Alfred's Pennyworth pubes?
Oh, he don't want to know about his Pennyworth. And then later on, Bruce calls Wayne Manor and there's no answer. And he's probably thinking like, is Alfred fucking my date?
Oh, dear.
And he doesn't remember being tasered either. And Bruce is like, you just dozed off, huh?
I went and made love to your woman. Pennyworth by the fire.
Now that's coming.
Take that one, sir. Sloppy seconds for me, as always. Every time Batman like gets laid, he's like, all right, Alfred, like, make sure they get home safe. He's like, sure thing, sir. Then Alfred's like, ah, sloppy seconds for Pennyworth today. He like makes his move every time. It's like, have you ever gone to Wayne Manor? Yeah, I fucked two guys. Good food, though.
Oh, man. So I thought Randa using the x-ray specs in Wayne Manor was a cool visual, like a fun way for her to discover the Batcave. But they were weird x-ray specs. And I'm like, aren't you a robot?
Aren't they built into your eyeballs?
Yeah, I thought that too. But I like seeing the infrastructure of the cave through the bookcase and stuff. I thought that looked cool. And then Batman enters the Batcave at the end and asks the Batcomputer to scan the Batcave and is suddenly ambushed by the robot crane he used earlier. And that's the end of part one of this episode review. We'll come back next week to review part two. But as always, when we finish an episode, what do you think of this episode ranking out of 10?
I give it an 8 out of 10. I liked it.
8 out of 10. I would give it a 7 out of 10. So we're going
7.5 out of 10.
And top 3, does it make your top 3?
No.
Me either. Right now, just as a reminder, our top 3 are in no particular order. Two-Face Part 1, Joker's Favor, and The Laughing Fish. Those are our top 3. And then there's a load of contenders that kind of fall into other categories, but that's where our top 3 lies. Also, Bruce Timm was just recently interviewed and was asked what his top 3 favorite episodes were of Batman the Animated Series, and he said Under the Wings was one he remembers and always comes to mind. The other one is Heart of Ice, that he remembers and comes to mind, and The Laughing Fish. Those are the 3 that he chose. Very good choices.
Yeah. Well, especially Laughing Fish, he had a lot of control on that one.
And Heart of Ice, because, yeah, he directed that one as well. So he even said, like, I hate choosing my episodes, but they're the ones I have the fondest memories of.
Why? Of course, why, yeah. Choose your own episodes.
Yeah, I think people just nitpick sometimes for the sake of it. So,
of course you would choose your own episodes. Well, yes, yeah. Motherfucker, I made them and I'm proud of them. So yeah, exactly. Fuck off. Prick.
Prince Tim is just this British arsehole now. Fuck off.
Fuck off, you little fucking nerd. Get out of here, nerd.
Okay, moving on to our first game of the day, which is Riddle Me This, William.
Focus! Focus! Focus!
But you'll still have to answer the riddle.
I can't believe it's luck.
Oh, darn. Now there's a riddle for you.
A lucky guess, that's all.
Now, no sore losers.
This is a game I play with my brother where I ask him 3 questions on the episode we just watched to make sure he was paying attention. Feel free to play along at home or in your car or wherever you are. Question 1, are you ready?
Yes.
Are you are? Aha, get it? Throwback.
That's the joke that I made.
I'm just duplicating your jokes.
Oh, duplicating, are you?
Well, it was a duplicant and not a duplicate, but yeah.
Are you a duplicate? I'm a duplicate.
Okay, question 1. Name 3 things that the robot briefcase can do.
Lasers. It can grapple hook and it can shoot a rocket.
Correct. Other acceptable answers were vacuum, rappel up and down with its legs, climb walls, disguise itself as a briefcase. And you said rocket. So yeah, the vacuum was a funny little thing.
A hell of a blowjob.
That vacuum, like, it's doing all these very cool advanced things, and then it finds the microchips and it's just like, vacuum. It's just such a weird thing.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I guess so. Question two. When Bruce explains what silicon wetware is, Alfred thinks it sounds more like what?
Fake titties.
Wet fake titties.
Ah, I love silicon wetware, sir. Gold's gone wild and it's tonight for us, I see. It is April,
also,
after all.
I just moved to the
Spring
side.
Spring break in Gotham City.
Don't I look like a force ghost again when I, like, move to the side? The light in here is very different. The answer is a line of swimsuits, is what Alfred thought the appropriate silicon wetware should
be.
Well,
he's making the same joke, isn't he?
That's true. And then question three, what is the name of Barbara's teddy bear?
Oh, fuck.
No, that's not the name. Humpy.
His name is Hello There. The bear. Stuffing. Hello Bear. Hello Bear. Hello There. I'm a bear. I can see over there.
I sleep with you every night. The answer. Do you want the answer?
Yeah, go on then.
It is Whoopi.
Yep, that does not ring a bell.
I thought it was going to be reminding you because your nickname is Wubby. I thought Whoopi Wubby would have kind of registered in your brain, but maybe that was just me.
No.
And there is a bonus question. You can redeem yourself. Who died that caused Carl Rossum to go into seclusion with his research? They say this, and it's kind of... But
his wife?
Very close. Can you guess again? It is a
his
woman.
His kid?
Yeah, his...
Daughter?
Daughter, correct. That's why he went into seclusion. Okay, yeah, I'll give it to you. Two and a half? How's that? You right with that?
Yeah,
2.5? Yeah? I mean, you got 5,000 points last episode.
Yeah, I won the series, so...
Yeah, you did. All right, moving on now. We're going to do Ace the Bat Sound. This is a game we play with you, the listener. Each week, I'll play a brief music clip from the show, and you have to guess who the character is or the title of the episode that the music belongs to. The answer to each clip will be revealed in the following episode. So last week, we had this music clip. And if you still don't know, here's a clue of a voice clip from that episode.
Huh? Where does a 500-pound gorilla sleep? What is this, some kind of joke? Listen, you stupid machine, I want my money!
All right, this is the episode that you found very nostalgic when we started this podcast. You just remember loads of scenes and watching it as a kid. And it is the second appearance of the Riddler. It is What is Reality? Where he creates a whole virtual world and puts Gordon and Batman in it. And yeah, I don't know if it's going to hold up the same way as you remember. Maybe it does. I don't know. But
just because I remember it doesn't mean that I consider it to be the best.
True. Yeah, you just have memories of watching it. That's true. Yeah, we'll get to that eventually. But that was the answer for that one. All right, here's the musical clip for next week's episode where you'll have to name the episode that the music is from. okay, I'm not going to give too much away. In fact, I can't even say this because it would be a spoiler for your DC book that you're doing. It has to do with a character that's related to Halloween. You've said that, right? You said that?
Yeah.
It's coming around Halloween.
No one writes articles about it. No, it's not a big... Who cares?
Like, you could say it right now and no one would know.
No one would fucking care. Like, there's always this, like, contract stuff, like, you cannot say any of this stuff, but it's like, no one cares what I'm doing. Like, nobody. So... Yeah.
It's not like it's a new character, you know what I mean?
No, it's not going to scare anybody or anything like that.
Hey!
No one's going to stone the crows over it, so just don't fucking worry about it.
There's nothing to fear there.
That's right.
All right. Moving on, it's time for You've Got Mail.
Oh, by the way, this came for you an hour ago by messenger.
You've Got Mail.
Thank you, Alfred.
This is where I take all your comments, emails, and everything that you review and write in for the pod, and I read them out on the pod. I keep on forgetting to write down my little segment for this, and can you tell I wing it every single time?
Mail, and you've got it.
It's time for the first listener. Why am I doing that now?
It's time for Anuka.
All right, our first listener write-in today is from Scotty Holly. Good old Scotty Holly.
I'm sick, Scotty. Otherwise, I'd sing your song. Love you, bud.
Oh,
thank you for your support.
He's waiting for it.
I fucking love Scotty Holly. He's very supportive of everything I do.
And we ask Scotty how he's doing. He's like, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Okay. Scotty Holly has said on our last episode, glad to hear that Kingpin, Smythe, and Little Baby Crime are still alive, and also have to agree with Will that Team Stone Cold all the way.
That's right, Scotty. That's right.
You two are a bunch of jabronis. That's all I have to say about that. You just need to know your role and shut your mouth, Scotty. Mm-hmm. Unless you're writing in, then please don't shut up. Please just keep on writing in. It's a big help. Okay, then we've got Callum Hughes. Keep up the great work, guys. This podcast is great and full of great memories for 90s kids. Thank you, Callum. First time writing in. I appreciate that. Then we've got Bosco the Dog Productions, which sounds like a spin-off of like Dog the Bounty Hunter, or like that's the production company that makes Dog the Bounty Hunter. Bosco. Okay, Bosco has said, y'all validate the way I still enjoy this series to this day. The perfect combo of this is the coolest shit ever and this is the goofiest shit I've ever seen. And I love that. Thank you very much, Bosco. I'm glad that you can tell that even though we're making fun of it, it's because we love it. Because some people online don't
get that.
That's
what I do with my brother to make him know that I love him. I make fun of him all the time.
It's true. It's our weird relationship that has just been spawned out of, I don't know. I don't know why we started doing that. Do you think that's because our dad was like, I'm going to make fun of you to show you I love you. And we're like, that's how you love other men. Okay.
It's a very old school way of showing affection for another man.
It's like when our dad sent that picture of that knight outfit and it was for like fat knights. And he's like, looks like this one might fit you too.
Like,
you son of a bitch.
the best is like he sent like a picture, he's like, it's wig, and it was just like a bald guy. I was like, why? Because he has the hair, and he was like, Yeah.
Trolling me hard for no reason.
Oh, fuck me.
No reason. Oh, so funny. Man. Okay, then we've got the next listener writing, which is from Jester Dust. Jester Dust has said, thank you guys for helping fuel my over 20-decade-long BTAZ obsession.
20 love decades? That's 200 years!
That's true! I copied and pasted this, so I think it's 20 years. Fuel my 20-year-long BTAZ obsession. Love having new content and info on the series, thanks to you guys. Thank you so much, Jester Dust.
Thank you, ancient vampire or Ra's al Ghul. I appreciate you writing in.
Just to dust. Maybe you've been turned to dust for 200
That's
years.
Right.
Okay, then we've got JD1776. I wonder what that
the year of his
year
birth.
Is.
Same as America.
JD has said, just got a comment. I have been loving the pod. I'm pretty far behind, but listening to the Cape Capers has me cracking up every day. Good stuff, you guys. Thank you, JD. You'll eventually reach a point where there are no more Cape Capers, so sorry to disappoint once you get to this episode. Then we got Elliot Gustafsson. Gustafsson? Yeah, Gustafsson. I hope I'm saying that right, Elliot. If I'm not, I apologize. But Elliot has said, Cat Scratch Fever may be a bad animated episode, but this was the best laugh I'd had in a really long time. Thank you, Elliot. Because I think it was so funny when we did that, because I was like, oh, this is very good. And you're like, it's fine. We had some laughs. And everyone is reconfirming that we did have some laughs. And I enjoyed it.
I don't remember anything of what we talked about. So
what, in Cat Scratch Fever? That was literally like 2 weeks ago.
I've had a very busy 2 weeks.
That's true, you have. Paunch has gone from your memory.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. With the egg. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and rotten eggs.
A poached egg. Poached!
And Batman eating a load of rocky rotten eggs to fuel his...
Oh, yeah! It's funny people on this show. Good jokes.
Then we've got Pixie Fang. Pixie has said, another vampire thing, I guess. Pixie Fang has said, so far, Kevin Altieri has been the best guest because he is fucking hilarious and earnest. He answers questions so naturally and dynamically. Thank you, Pixie. I will pass it on to Kevin. And also, as I said earlier, if we're lucky to line it up, timing sometimes can be difficult because we've got an 8-hour time difference, but we might be able to have Kevin on for the next episode since he directed Heart of Steel Part 1 and 2. I'd love to bring him on for your utility belt of fun facts, as we normally do. Then we've got our final listener right in here, which is, excuse me, Princess Super Show. That's the name I got. So, excuse me, Princess Super Show has said, great episode as always. Another aspect of the Bat embargo that's worth talking about is how it affected the cartoons in relation to each other. The Batman was given priority with the most Bat characters outside of Batman and Robin, resulting in no Batman baddies appearing in Justice League Unlimited at all. Even those who would have been in the Legion of Doom, Joker and Scarecrow, as examples, were already banned thanks to Nolan. Nightwing only making a shadowy cameo as well, and no lines for Hugo Strange in Cadmus, as he was a major baddie in The Batman, occasionally used in place of Scarecrow. Meanwhile, the Batman couldn't use Robin until Teen Titans ended, resulting in it having Batgirl come first before Robin is introduced at the start of Season 4, and the embargo also kept a young Bruce Wayne from appearing in Smallville, and a more recent version kept Batman out of the Arrowverse, which was somehow allowed to have its own Flash and Superman. And now DC has no problem with three different movie Batman running around, so keep up the great work. Thanks
you
very
don't
much.
You like fucking money, you fucking idiots. Such a dumb rule.
So weird. It's so weird. And
we might confuse the audience if there's multiple different Batman. We know the difference between a fucking television show and a film, you fool.
He's going hot, folks. He's going hot. You need to be as cool as a duplicate right now. You need to calm down.
It's fine.
Well, speaking of the Batman show, that's going to lead us straight into what you're putting in your holes.
Batman.
Have you ever watched that show?
Yes.
Okay. I have only watched a few episodes because I'm so Batman the Animated Series loyal that I tried watching it way back in the day and I was like, this is nothing like it. Even though Alan Burnett is... Hang on. So Alan Burnett is one of the main producers of
Alfred,
the show.
That's all I'll say. I'm out.
He's pretty good in this, the Batman.
He's like the Batman. Isn't that the one where he's like the Cockney, like,
no,
big guy? Oh, I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, you're thinking of the computer-generated one, which is like, I can't remember what that is, but I can't remember what that's called now. But this came out in like 2005, right around the time of Batman
Begins.
Oh, it's
with the weird-looking Joker, isn't it?
Yes, which I don't like.
He's like, I'm the Joker, but all but
yeah, yeah, and he's running around in a straight jacket. He's got like crazy long clown hair. I've been looking for new Batman content recently because just like when we did Spider-Man the Animated Series, when we dive into something that I love so much, I have to stop watching it because I want to save it for the pod. But I also like Batman content, especially stuff I haven't seen. So I've given the Batman a go recently. And look, it's no Batman the Animated Series, but it's on Now TV, so I was like, whatever, I'll give that a go. And there's some episodes and there's some elements to it where I'm like, I'm enjoying this, and I want to see some more Hugo Strange, there's some more Man-Bat in it. So I've been watching The Batman, that's what I've been putting in my holes, and I don't mind watching it. It's something to stick on when I'm just like, I just want to watch a half hour or something that's, you know, I don't have to pay super close attention to, but it's stuff I enjoy. So I've been doing that. I also started watching the show Fallout, which I believe you have as well.
I've only watched two or three episodes, but I'm very much enjoying it.
Same here. I think I've only watched three episodes as well, and we are both, me and my girlfriend, are enjoying it.
They've nailed the universe of the games. Like, it feels exactly like that. Walter Goggins is just he's just the best.
He's great.
The main lady is crushing it as a vault dweller. She's like spot on for that. And my the most interesting, like, that intro was brilliant to the show.
So good.
Even actually made me feel a bit emotional as well.
Yeah.
When you see all those bombs and like the thumb thing, like that was so well done. And then the scene right after that, I thought was fantastic. The introduction to the vault and then the what happens after that. I was like, holy shit, is this show like really good?
Yeah.
And then the Brotherhood of Steel stuff is a bit lame, but it's got now.
Yeah, that threw me off. Like, you're watching it and I'm like, it's invested. Gotten better, though. It has gotten better. Yeah, I agree.
Because I think I've watched three, and that's when like he gets like the squire to come with him and stuff, right?
Yes, we just watched three, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, same. So, and because we're just watching an episode a day. And it's very good. It's just, it knows what it is. It's having fun, and it is full of fan service. I mean, it has all the music from the game, so you get to listen to like a ton of ink spots. It has so many little homages like to the game. Like, I got hyped when I saw the two-headed cow. I was like, oh my god, I feel like I'm playing New Vegas again. Yeah. And like, there's just so much great stuff. And like, the shootout they have in episode two, and everything slows down. You can see all the bullets. That's straight from the game with the bullet time stuff. And it's just like, you could see that Tom Howard definitely must have stepped in because he's an executive producer and been like, just make it the fucking game. And like, please, people, start adapting stuff more just loyally, like the content it's from. Because if it's already got an established fan base, you'll instantly make them happy and you'll probably make new fans happy because
look, that's a perfect example.
It's successful for a reason in the first place.
Yeah, I never played the game, right? I'm not a big gamer, as you know. Had no idea what the storyline was. I watched you play that game once when we were living together, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And you explained a few things which I had totally forgotten. So I knew nothing about this universe, and my girlfriend, even less than I knew. And we both enjoy it for some of the same reasons and different reasons, but it has nothing to do with our nostalgia of the game, right? And you've obviously made us happy as new fans, and you've made the loyal people, the OG fans, happy as well. Would you say this is the best video game to screen adaptation that you've ever seen?
I have to wait till I see the whole thing to decide that. But for right now, I'd say yes.
Because The Last of Us, I mean, I guess episode one felt pretty like loyal from what I remember you telling me.
They decide that there's no zombies in the show anymore, which is dumb. And yes, that show had one of the best episodes of all time, that love story in the zombie apocalypse. It was just absolutely
incredible
TV. Kind of like the stuff I'm trying to do on Outbreaks, which is available right now on Kickstarter. but it just didn't feel like the game. And fucking Resident Evil is just like giving up on adaptation, Christ. So
yeah.
It's nice. It's refreshing because I was like, when I saw the trailers, I was like, this looks great, it looks just like the game, but I just know it's probably going to be shit. And I've been pleasantly surprised at how entertaining the show is.
Yeah, I agree. I've been really invested and I want to know more. As you said, the night story, like in that first episode, I feel like they kind of shoehorned it in there. And I was so invested with the intro, and then you go 200 years in the future, and then it's the vault. But I was like keeping up with that pace, and then the night one kind of threw me off, but it had to be in there in order for it to obviously connect as the story went on. And yeah, like the dog as well. Oh my God, that dog
meat,
is just amazing. I love that whole storyline as well. I'm very interested to see what happens. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Didn't let the puppies into the, like that was fucked up.
We did not like that.
I did love that he
change
like
the weight.
The stats, yeah.
Yeah, I like that too. And the final thing that I'm putting in my holes is Curb Your Enthusiasm finally has reached its finale. Supposedly, it is the last two. I mean, it's probably unlikely Larry David will come back, but he has said before he's not going to do any more. But this was kind of like, it felt like a definitive end, right?
Absolutely,
And I'm going to miss that show. It's just, it's been consistently funny.
I think it ran its course, though, you know?
Yeah, you think it's reached a point of like doesn't need to keep on going anymore?
I think there's so many good episodes. It's such an iconic show that I'm glad it ended now, because it could have just kept going and been bad. And I've always enjoyed the sporadic nature of releases of that show. You know, that's been like part of the charm. And you know, you look like some of the cast is dying off, and you see like how old people are. It's like, you know, I don't really want to see a 80-year-old Larry in a few years.
Yeah, because obviously, was it Lewis? No, it's not Lewis Black, is it?
Richard Lewis.
Richard Lewis, thank you. Richard Lewis obviously passed away soon after shooting the show. Yes. So yeah, it was the last thing that he ever did. Yeah, I guess you're right, but I will still miss it because, man, it's just so funny. But I'll always be able to go back and just watch. I mean, there's what, like 15 seasons or something outrageous? I don't know how many seasons there are, but there are so many. Is there anything else you're putting in your holes?
Medicine. I'm watching The Masters and I'm very much enjoying it.
That's right. That's right. You're doing your middle-aged white man thing.
That's right. Now go to sleep.
All right. Well, before we jet off, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review on whatever you're listening to us on right now, as it helps us back grapple up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. And if you leave a review, we might read it out on the pod at the end of each episode. And please subscribe or follow us on your preferred podcast catcher of choice if you haven't yet already. Just a side note, guys, it's really important that you please subscribe, because I listen to, I see our stats and I see so many downloads, which I'm so appreciative of, but our subscriber to downloads number, there's a big difference there. So just in case, if you haven't, subscribe on whatever podcast, like whatever, you can do it in app right now. If you're listening, you haven't subscribed, please give us a subscribe, because it helps us out a ton. Are you subscribed? You're like going on your phone.
Am I? I don't know.
I fucking hope you are. Otherwise, like, what was the point of me plugging it when my co-host isn't even subscribed on Spotify or whatever you listen to us on? It's very important.
On Spotify.
Yeah? Are you following us?
How do I check that? Yeah, I'm following.
Okay, all right, good.
I'm following, but it says following on there.
Okay, good. Also, you can email us at batmantaspod@gmail.com or follow us on socials at batmantaspod on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere. But the app formerly known as Twitter, which is at batmantaspod1. And that's because why?
Because we're the number one Batman the Animated Series podcast.
You got them right. It's fine. And in the description of this episode, you'll find
that's what I've
said
to myself all morning fighting the cold. I'm fine.
In the description of this episode, you'll find a tip jar where you can gift us any amount of money you can afford to give if you so wish. As we aren't billionaire playboy philanthropists, any amount you can afford to give us is not necessary, but always greatly appreciated. And finally, you can follow me everywhere at Chef Alex Robson, and you can follow Will on his socials to stay up to date on what he's working on and get a glimpse into the workday of a comic book artist, writer, and old man in a young man's body. It's Mr. Will Robson. Where can your listeners find you?
Anywhere at Robson Inc. on the internet, and please check out Outbreaks issues 1-3 live on Kickstarter right now.
Go to the description below and click on that link. All right, well, that's all the time we've got for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Batman, the animated series. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Sicky.
And remember that we are Vengeance, we are the Night, we are a podcast.
Ah!
He's fine. What's wrong?
I have started a cold today. Lovely.
Yay!
I'm in
a different location. This is fun.
Yeah.
It's probably an echo, but...
A hell of a good podcast.
Top quality.
Full of energy. Ready to go. Ready to entertain. Oh, funny little comment that gets turned into a viral video.
Just how it works. That's exactly how it
That's
works.
That's just the life. Oh, and we make so much money doing this. Oh, my God.
So
we're
much.
Rich. We're so rich from all this free entertainment we give people.
And then all the Kickstarter people just flowing in, just giving you millions.
I haven't been living month to month since the pandemic. No!
I didn't just check my bank account and I'm in the negative. No,
no, no. We're in the positive always in all aspects of life.
I went out last night and I thought I had more money than I did. And we went out for a Mexican, as you know. And I was like, margaritas, bring on the apps, the mains. Let's have a dessert. We're on holiday. And then this morning, my bank's like, you're overdrawn. I was like, ah, fuck.
I biffed it.
I beefed it.
That's how I feel with life right now. Oh, yeah. My wife's just had a cold for like days. And usually we separate. And it actually works, like, we don't catch each other's cold, but it is depressing being the one that's sick, like, in the bedroom for, like, 5 days, just looking
out. It's like a prison sentence.
Yeah, you're just, like, looking out the window at people going by as your entertainment. And last time I was sick and I did it, like, I watched zombie content. I went back and watched all of the Romero zombie movies and, like, I was like, oh, I feel like one of these fucking zombies right now.
I was gonna say, does that make you feel more sick or, like, less sick because you're not that bad?
Well, when you're sick and you hear like the soundtrack to Dawn of the Dead, which is by Goblin with this Italian band, it's like, I was just like, I am a creature of the night.
And then the classic Saw theme plays.
Oh, yeah. I was like, is that the theme from Saw?
It is. Hello, William. I want to actually. You're gonna die. I'm gonna leave you.
I'd be like, game over. What's the contraption? What are we doing? Jaw ripped off. Make it quick. Jigsaw.
I hear you've been living month to month for 5 years. How would you like to live it for another 50?
Oh no, Jigsaw.
You've provided people with subpar entertainment in the comic book industry. You will pay. All those pages you handed in because you just had to get it done, we remember them.
No!
Your fulfillment on your Kickstarter was late. Da-na-na, da-na-na,
da-na-na-na. There was a misprint. I received issue 2 with the interiors of issue 1, and I'll never forgive you for that. So now, I will rip your jaw off.
All right, bud. Fair enough. I got a cold, so let's wrap this up.
You're on
I feel like
time.
I'm practically dead anyway.
What are you enjoying? Is that a Starbucks?
Oh, what am I enjoying, you ask me, if it goes up? This is my homemade iced tea, and the recipe is... Oh, it's perfect. That's so good. It's so good.
Is it one of those like recipes you die with, or are you going to share the recipe?
No, I'll share it. It's not that big of a deal. I mean,
is this content that we need to share now I think about it?
All right, then the recipe stays with me.
There's someone like, I really need to know.
Oh, homemade iced tea is so good if you get it right. And like, now that I've switched sweetener, oh, it's so good. I got to make a new batch, actually, because it's the end of the Masters today. That's right. I'm a 33 going on 34-year-old man that makes homemade iced tea and watches golf. And I'm ready to do a podcast. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Ain't nothing wrong with that.